Stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Michael Brown reporting. Turkey says it will be more active in Syria in the next 6 months to prevent further divisions along ethnic lines. Prime Minister Binali Yildirim said Saturday the bloodshed needs to stop. Speaking of the violence, Syrian government planes have bombarded U.S.-supported Kurdish militia targets in the northeastern town of Hasaka, marking a new escalation against its once Kurdish allies. Ebed Uranian reports Hasaka has become a flashpoint in the Syrian civil war.
Amateur video shows hundreds of civilians fleeing Hasaka after a second day of airstrikes by Syrian government warplanes over the city. Kurdish militia targets, in addition to civilian areas, were reportedly hit. Rami Abdulrahman, who heads the Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, told the media that over 20 people were killed by both the airstrikes and fighting on the ground between Kurdish militiamen and government forces. He said that the city's hospital was also in urgent need of doctors to treat the casualties. Amateur video showed Kurdish militia units known as Asayish exchanging fire with Syrian government forces over control of part of the city. Kurdish forces reportedly control the east of the city, while government forces are hunkered down in the city center. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
Afghan forces are said to have retaken a key northern district hours after it fell to the Taliban. Afghan officials said late Saturday in Kabul that both sides suffered casualties. National security forces are currently engaged in cleanup operations in Khan Abad to eliminate Taliban insurgents from remaining pockets there. Authorities have also confirmed heavy clashes were taking place between government forces and the insurgents in Kunduz. This is VOA News. North Korea is demanding the return of their diplomat who defected to South Korea this week. State media reports North Korea's deputy ambassador to Britain fell, or rather faces multiple offenses, including spying for South Korea. The North Korean diplomat is said to have told South Korean officials he defected out of disgust with the government of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and sought a better future for his children. The World Health Organization, the WHO, is urging countries in Eastern and Central Africa to start vaccinating against yellow fever. The WHO's regional director for Africa spoke about the next steps.
We are planning to completely overwhelm the yellow fever strategy for the region. WHO has initiated discussions with Gavi, UNICEF, other partners, and the pharmaceutical companies that produce yellow fever vaccine. There will be need for preventive yellow fever vaccination campaigns in Central and East Africa, and to reemphasize the importance of all countries providing yellow fever vaccine as part of routine immunization programs.
Over the next few days, the WHO's meeting in Ethiopia will focus on the emergency response strategies to tackle malaria, HIV/AIDS, and non-communicable diseases, as well as the persistent threat of Ebola. In Olympic news, the United States' Gwen Jorgensen has become the first U.S. athlete to win the women's triathlon. And U.S. multi-gold medalist gymnast Simone Biles says she is honored to carry the American flag during Sunday's closing ceremony in Rio. As the 2016 Rio Games draws to a close, the president of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, said Saturday, the committee's ethics committee is closely monitoring the case of the American swimmer Patrick Hickey, who is being detained in Brazil in connection with a fabricated story about an armed robbery involving he and three other swimmers.
The IOC Ethics Commission is fully informed about what we know of this case, and is actually in contact there also with the authorities here in Brazil and Rio de Janeiro. The Ethics Commission at this time saw no reason for any action, given the fact that Mr. Hickey has himself suspended from any activities.
Bach added that Hickey has yet to go before a judge and he is presumed innocent. I'm Michael Brown in Washington. For more details on much more news, join us at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We're coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington.
Watu wote ambaye wamepinga muhula wake wa tatu.
People are still harassed, he says. Some are still in detention without following the due process and the rule of law.
Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza marks a controversial year in office.
We believe that there were some issues before the elections, especially issues of electoral violence.
Zambian church leaders call for calm, peace and love among all political parties.
If you have to clear the custom duties for the European goods, it's going to affect us so much because first, our budget depends on the custom duties. We're a third world, we don't have developed industries.
And a new trade deal between Cameroon and the European Union stirs up controversy. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Today marks 1 year since Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza was sworn in for a hotly disputed third term in office. Political dialogue has stalled and right abuses continue, including disappearances. For VOA, Mohamed Yusuf has details from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
On August 20, 2015, President Pierre Nkurunziza was sworn in for another 5 years in office. He won the election that most of his opponents boycotted, earning 69% of the vote. In his oath, the president swore loyalty to the constitution, to assure national unity and to bring stability to the deteriorating security situation. 1 year later, the sound of gunfire may have gone silent, but the political tension and human rights abuses go on. According to human rights organizations, more than 450 people have been killed since April 2015. And a quarter of a million have fled the country, seeking refuge in neighbouring countries. Diodune Bashira Hishize, a member of the Burundi Bar Association and vice president of the East African Law Society, says the abuse against civilians and killings continues.
Watu wote ambaye wamepinga muhula wake watatu.
People are still harassed, he says. Some are still in detention without following the due process and the rule of law. There are those who got disappeared and their families don't know their whereabouts. Many more people are tortured in prison. Last month, a coalition of Burundian and governmental organizations gave a report to the United Nations Committee Against Torture, describing the human rights situation. The group documented torture, ill-treatment during arrests, extrajudicial killings and forced disappearances. Four Burundian lawyers faced disbarment for testifying. Bishira Hishize is one of them. He says the government should respect the laws and prosecute those behind the killings and torture that is taking place in the country.
Wameona ni njia ya kutukataza, kusema.
He says they thought this was one of the ways to silence, so that we do not report the violence and abuses committed against our people. We want the abuses to end and those behind the crimes to be prosecuted. The government should also respect and abide by the constitution and the international law. The government has repeatedly denied targeting civilians and opposition areas and insists it is defending the country against armed people. The International Crisis Group said in a recent commentary that hardliners have taken over the government of Nkurunziza. The Brussels-based research organisation said the spoilers are determined to do away with the institutional system established by the Arusha Accord that ended the country's civil war and created an ethnic power-sharing agreement between the Hutu majority and Tutsi minority. Vital Nshirimana is the head of Burundi's Forum for Strengthening the Civil Society. He says President Nkurunziza is destabilizing the army.
He has disrupted the balance, the ethnic balance, within the army. And those Hutu extremists are the ones who are appointed to any important position, whereas Tutsi are arrested on a daily basis. We are very scared that the army would one day divide for the good, and that people will no longer have a protection.
Efforts at political mediation hit a snag after the government blocked some political opposition members from taking part, accusing them of being behind attacks on security forces and government officials. It is not clear when or if another round of talks will begin again in Arusha. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
The Angolan Ruling People's Movement for the Liberation of Angola, or MPLA, has confirmed the election of President José Eduardo dos Santos for another term as leader of the party. There was speculation before the Congress that dos Santos might not make himself available for re-election. Santos had said in March that he plans to step down as party leader in 2018 without naming a successor. But Aside Sakala, the spokesman for the main opposition party, UNITA, told me the ruling party failed to demonstrate internal party democracy.
I think that will not change anything anyway. So what we're going to see is the continuation of a policy that he has been taking throughout the years. He has been in power for more than 30 years, as you know. And our feeling is that our conclusion is that the democratic process is moving backwards, especially for the past 10 years, you know, within the period of peace in the country. So we don't expect any changes, you know, as far as Mr. Dos Santos is concerned.
But Mr. Alcides, he said he was going to step down in 2017. However, the party re-elected him to lead the group. Does that mean he's still respected in the party as well as in government in its transformational agenda as he promised Angolans?
First of all, I think he has imposed himself within the party because he was the only candidate for this Congress. So he was not a multi-factor, you know, candidate. A process for choosing the leader of the party himself, he imposed within the party. And secondly, we don't think we leave a power as he announced, because it's not the first time he has done it. He has done it already in the past by saying that he'll be leaving, then he's still there. So you can take your conclusions.
A lot of his supporters are saying the opposition seems to be unhappy about his election because the opposition party, including yours, knows very well that when he stands for the next election, he is going to win hands down and you have no chance of defeating him. That is why you're making all these assumptions and accusations. What do you say to that?
Well, it's not true. When you rig an electoral process, you know the results anyway. It's not only in Angola, as well as in many African countries, so that we have to change. We have to have an electoral process that should be organized by independent organs, which is the National Electoral Commission. But in Angola, you have the government that is as well organizing the electoral process. That's where things became very, very, very complicated, and we have now begin just to call upon the attention of the national and international community that we need that the next elections should be organized by independent bodies in the country, because we have a National Electoral Commission which is responsible for organizing the electoral process.
Supporters of the MPLA are saying that Mr. Dos Santos remains a visionary leader and he has transformed the country to this stage where people are really enjoying the freedom and the prosperity that the oil is providing for the country, and that it is better for him to be re-elected to continue the development of the country. Why do you disagree?
Well, the country is in a crisis today, in economic crisis, due to the policies that have been taken into account ever since the war has ended. We have today a deep economic crisis in the country. People are suffering a lot today in our country, which means that Mr. Dos Santos, who has not have a vision for management, the peace process, and today the democratic process is moving backwards in our country. So Mr. Dos Santos' policies, as far as the country are concerned, have failed completely. We have less democracy, we have a lot of poverty, people, they don't have money to live a normal life. The majority of people, when you find a small group of people that are getting richer and richer, and among these people, you find the family of Mr. Dos Santos. Is that a vision for a country?
Alcide Sakala is the spokesman for the Angolan main opposition party, UNITA. He spoke with me from the capital, Luanda. The Zambian Conference of Catholic Bishops and leaders of the Council of Churches in Zambia have called for calm, peace and love among all political parties. The call, the groups say, aimed to ease post-election tensions. Father Cleophas Lungu, the Secretary General of the Zambian Conference of Catholic Bishops, told me the church groups were pleased with the peaceful way Zambians went to the polls.
We believe that there were some issues before the elections, especially issues of electoral violence. You know, you could see the tensions building up as the results were coming in, so much so that when the final results were announced in some parts of the country, there were some incidents of, riotous behavior. And so the church leaders, as they have done before, could not fold their hands and be mere spectators, but in a spirit of providing, moral guidance to the nation, they have stepped up and, issued this statement.
Well, Father Lungu, the UPND, the main opposition party, with its leader Hakainde Hichilema, they have called for their supporters to come in their numbers to support the action to petition the court. However, the PF is calling on the police not to allow them to do so. This could bring possible tension and violence. What is the church's reaction to such ongoing?
It is the constitutional right of any candidate or competing party to bring their issues through the courts of law. And when they take that route, we believe that that's the best way to resolve these issues, rather than, for people to take the law into their hands and behave in such a manner that brings havoc and, destabilizes the flow of life of ordinary Zambians, some of whom do not really mind who wins or who loses.
Father Lungu, what was the assessment of the church's perspective on how the elections were conducted?
We did have monitors across the country. We had a consortium of faith-based organizations like the Council of Churches in Zambia, the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia, who did deploy over 1,600, monitors, and these monitors were stationed in all the provinces, in all the districts of Zambia. We believe that by and large, the electoral process went very well. Of course, there were issues like the late opening of some polling stations, a few of them, issues of some people campaigning on the day of the polls, but those were isolated and instances. By and large, you'd say that the electoral process could be said to be credible, whilst not undermining the issues which we have highlighted.
The church has called on both PF and UPND to take responsibility and make public pronouncement against violence and internally dialogue with their members and cadres to resist any temptation from now moving forward. What can you tell me about this?
Well, our appeal is to both parts of the electorate, because when you look at the voting pattern, it is very clear that the country is almost divided into two halves. There is the eastern part, which is green, in other words, more or less in favor of the Patriotic Front or the ruling party, and the western half, which was more inclined to vote the red way or, you know, for the main opposition party, which is the UPND. We believe that this is the time when we should rise above board. And for those who have won, it is an appeal for them not to celebrate in such a manner that would incite, you know, or provoke people, especially those who have lost, to feel mocked, to feel, you know, incensed, to react in a violent manner, that there should be some magnanimity in the way they celebrate, but also bearing in mind that they should be sensitive to the emotions, which are quite high and volatile at the moment.
Father Cleophas Lungu is the Secretary General of the Zambian Conference of Catholic Bishops. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. In Cameroon, a new trade deal with the European Union is stirring up controversy. Other Central African states have refused to ratify the agreement as they say it is not fair and balanced. For VOA Moki, Edwin Kenzeka reports from the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
Civil society activist Emmanuel Mbami addressed a small crowd gathered near Cameroon's Ministry of Finance Thursday. They were protesting a new trade deal that Cameroon has signed with the European Union.
Monsieur Biya, qui veut mourir au pouvoir, se voyait dans la contrainte de donner une contrepartie qui pèse.
He says President Paul Biya was motivated by his desire to stay in office. He says Biya was afraid if he didn't sign the deal, he would lose the support of European leaders. He says Biya has shown Cameroon to be a shameless state that would betray the other countries in the region. In late July, leaders in the Central African bloc, CEMAC, met in Malabo, capital of Equatorial Guinea, and decided not to sign the proposed trade agreement. But then, on August 4, Cameroon ratified the agreement on its own. Lawmaker John Evaristus says Cameroon was wrong because the agreement favors Europe.
We are tilting towards the ASEAN countries, China and the rest. And if you have to clear the custom duties for the European goods, it's going to affect us so much because first, our budget depends on the custom duties. We are a third world. We don't have developed industries that are up to a level that can compete with the industries of Europe. In that sense, you cannot balance the economy since we are a country that is mostly on agricultural products and the rest, and they are dealing with goods which are already finalized goods. The trade balance will not be there.
The European Union is Cameroon's top trade partner, accounting for 35% of imports. The Economic Partnership Agreement, or EPA, removes customs duties on imports from the EU. The EU argues that the agreement is favorable to developing nations as it also allows countries to export goods to the EU without tariffs or maximum quotas under World Trade Organization rules. François Collette is head of the EU delegation to Cameroon.
It will be a safer environment for trade and for expanding trade between our regions, but also for expanding trade within the regions. That's one of our hopes. And it's not only a trade agreement, it's also a development agreement. This is the aim of the EPA everywhere in the world and including in Cameroon.
African countries had until October 2014 to ratify the EPA, without which preferential treatment being given to their exports to European markets were to be suspended. Central African nations got the deadline extended to August 1, 2016. Cameroon's former Minister of Economy and current Minister of Public Works, Emmanuel Nganou Djoumissi, is part of the negotiating team. He told VOA they saw no reason to disrespect their commitment.
We are ratifying in order to continue selling our goods in this market without paying custom duties. Cameroon has to respect its international engagement. We have been selling to the European Union without paying custom fees. Consequently, you can easily sell our banana, our chocolate, our beans, and so on.
The five other nations in CEMAC have refused to sign EPAs. At its last meeting, CEMAC asked Gabonese President Ali Bongo to meet with President Biya and discuss the matter. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Nigeria has launched an emergency polio vaccination campaign after two new cases of the disease paralyzed children earlier this month. The government says it will immunize 56 million children by November. VOA's Carol Pearson explains why it's so important that Nigeria succeeds.
Getting all children immunized in northern Nigeria is difficult because of geography and conflict. Villages in the northern region where two outbreaks of polio recently occurred are often difficult to get to. The north is also a stronghold of Boko Haram, a militant group that is fighting the government. So there's a question of safety as well. This means hundreds of thousands of children may have missed getting the polio vaccine. The two latest cases, announced in mid-August, are similar to the strains that circulated 5 years ago. The World Health Organization says the virus may have been quietly circulating since then. Polio is highly infectious, and children are particularly vulnerable. Polio cripples its victims in about one out of every 200 cases. That means if two children are paralyzed, up to 400 could have had the virus, but without the crippling side effects. Nigeria was set to celebrate 2 years of being polio-free in mid-August. If the country had made it to 2017 without a single case of polio, the World Health Organization could have declared Nigeria polio-free. John Vertife heads the polio eradication effort at the Centers for Disease Control. He spoke by Skype.
While this is late, unfortunately, in the process, it is actually the timelines built into that process that allowed us to see this now and now to respond effectively to it.
Vertife says the timeline that's set up is not just a period of waiting.
The certification timeline is a period of activity that focuses on making sure that any blind spots in the information are addressed.
Nigeria has put together an aggressive vaccination campaign starting in the northern states. The campaign will be synchronized with five neighboring countries. Nigeria then plans to vaccinate all other children, some 56 million, in another campaign starting in October. As long as there are unvaccinated children, polio can survive and spread. The last thing anyone involved in the polio eradication program wants to see happen. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in Feast your ears and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. And right now it's time for music from African Collection. Enjoy what we have for you today.
Lights up. kabisa mena ni malizaga.
Dancing, party, fiesta, forever.
Ni kabisa mena ni malizaga.
Body. You and I will go bomb body. Girl, I see they see me so. I will never let you go.
Paka na bata mitali. Watu nataka mikali. Kote minibu. Sema beautiful. I'm in love.
I'm gonna give you what you need. Let me give you what you need. I'm in love. Let me give you what you need. She got me dancing, party, fiesta, forever.
Yeah, ni kabisa mena ni malizaga.
Dancing, party, fiesta, forever.
Yeah, ni kabisa mena ni malizaga. Mwishoni ukanogewa, natunda nkamegewa. Shururu sindondondo chelewa, ni wango elewa. Chonde chonde mami, utani kosea.
So call me quick on body, you and I will go jam body. Girl, I see they see me so, I will never let you go.
Paka na pata mitali, wapu nataka mikali. Kote minipo, sema beautiful.
I'm in love. What you need, let me give you what you need. I'm in love. I'm gonna give you what you need. Let me give you what you need. She got me dancing, party, fiesta, forever.
Yeah, ni kabisa mena ni malizaga.
Dancing, party, fiesta, forever.
Tu kabisa mena ni malizaga.
African girls so beautiful. I'm in love, you're in love, so in love, yeah. I'm in love, you're in love, so in love.
You need to be some in love, you need to be some in love. I can talk, 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 I can talk.
Na
ambacho nakiona. Yani ni usipita wakati kwako napona. Na penzi sisuruani, seme kichanwa ntaishona. Vyo chonde tafadhali, sinieke mibaika nchoma. Wakaja wa magari, na nyumba za kifari. Wakalamba asali, kanyaja doro. Wepaja mikidali, chipsi kachumbali. Kwanini sa ugali, sijazwa diforo.
Waka waka pesa kisa kiyo.
Simu kira.
Waka waka pesa kisa kiyo.
Simona pisa tanga.
Waka waka pesa kisa kiyo.
Tendelera.
Waka waka pesa kisa
kiyo. Oh, Tani.
Oh, Tani.
Ukafatama samati ya watora mari.
Oh, my mama.
Oh, Tani.
Yeah.
Ano mira mira andowe ya panti.
You supposed to be straight with me. Oh, I love ya bara, eh. Big bati man lowo luwa lo mo. Ori jami
eleko,
baby jalo
eleko.
I want don't let me go to your phone. You go mama gbadale mi, baby don't me wo
eleko.
Pari pe mo ro
eleko.
I want don't go mi je ti mo mu mi le kan ma se gbadale mi. Why you carry carry fire fire for your head? Around one day with you, oh, I love you, but I
Scoop boy, hi. Ori mi gbe mi yo. Daku ma mi. I want to marry yo. I want to money. Baby Lord, Ipikiga. I want to run this. I want to live large. Ori mi gbe mi yo. Daku ma mi. I want to marry yo. I want to money. Life is no sweet without trouble. I want to buy a car for my mama. Life is no nice, my life drama. While I tell her, I want hammer. Every day I want to spend this money. You see me, so I must to get this money. Get this money, get this money. Stack up so they should go for my body. But it's no be by hustle. Don't be by muscle. Believe in God today. That's how we go to you. Ori mi gbe mi yo. Daku ma mi. I want to marry you. I want to money. Baby Lordy, Ipikiga. I want to run this. I want to live large. Ori mi gbe mi yo. Daku ma mi. I want to marry you. I want to money.
My papa been the tell me say. My mama been the tell me say, people see me they clap yo. I thank God for life yo. Let's cut the crap yo. Yeah, pass me the knife yo. Who no know say my life go fit change because of video. And the things say not come on till like me them the video. Good boy you be killing me. May your cool just the bury me. Say it can in the building. We start all the place on the front.
Ori mi gbe mi yo, daku ma mi. I want to marry yo, I want to money. Baby Lordy, Ipikiga. I want to run this, I want to live large. Ori mi gbe mi yo, daku ma mi. I want to marry yo, I want to money.
I done try many things, I done face many things, so today I dey work all night. I dey fast, I dey pray, I dey tell my God, I begin make it shine in light. In any way that I go, many people they say, oh boy, you go see rise. But I don't put on my work in the spot that I choose, one day I get it right.
But you know me by hustle, know me by muscle, if you believe in God, what time you go to me, Ori mi gbe mi yo, daku ma mi, I want to marry yo, I want the money.
For my head, ooh. For my head, ooh. If you the best, I'm on your head, ooh. For your head, ooh. The thing you the plan, I'm on your head, ooh. Softly, softly, kill yourself. For my people, make me let you be late, ooh. Me, I they feel like I'm really ghetto. I say, whatever I am. Me and my fans with the Buruzawa. Ah, Chikwebuka. In my life, in Kenjika. Oh my God, I'm falling. Hey, I'm falling. Every day my phone is ringing. Hey, mommy is calling. Yeah. Where you go? Every night and day, I swear I'm happy. How I got here today, me, I swear I'm happy. God, I beg for only one chance. And you give me plenty.
plenty more chance. Oh my God, I only one chance. I do chance, I make them to dance. Oh, oh. Make we take them softly to celebrate you.
Celebrate you.
Only my corner, I'm one of my day. Enter head, you.
Enter head, you.
Any work you do now for your head, yo. Mastercraft to the beach, they do the enter head, yo.
Every night and day, I swear I'm happy. How I got here today, me, I swear I'm happy. God, I beg for only one chance, and you give me plenty more chance. I beg for only one chance, now the chance to make them to dance.
I celebrate, I jubilate. No time to complain, boy, you know that time to complain. Yeah, I celebrate. I don't jubilate. See, don't have to complain. Boy, you know, don't have to complain.
Pop some bottles and just feel okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody make you feel okay. Whoa. Yeah. Sexy ladies just they feel like you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make sure you just got to feel okay. Whoa.
The thing that's with me from my head, from my head. If you the best, I'm on your head. For your head, oh. The thing you depend up on your head, oh. Softly, softly, kill yourself. For my people, make me jubilate, oh. Me, I dey feel like I'm really ghetto, oh.
If you carry chicken, like I for my head, yo,
my head, yo.
If you drink rosé, like for my head, yo,
my head, yo.
If you for my head, yo,
uh-huh.
But if you scatter this place, like for your head, yo. Every night and day, I swear I'm happy. How I got here today, me, I swear I'm happy. God, I beg for only one chance, and you give me plenty more chance. I beg for only one chance, now the chance to make them to dance. Pop some bottles and just feel okay. Everybody make you feel okay. Whoa. Sexy ladies just they feel like
they.
Make sure you just got to feel okay.
Down for you,
ah,
get down.
Oh, you talk to me, oh, mama, free, oh,
can find it in you. Oh, yes, you can find it in you. Oh, yes, you can find it in you. Oh, yes, you can find it in you. Show a kiss.
And that was music from the continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of The Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sali, reporter Douglas Impuga, producer Odette Frazier, and our engineer for today, the affable Nelson Lopez. We say thank you for joining us, and remember, as the elders say, food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with gravel in his mouth. I'm your host, Peter Clotter, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Today, Venezuelan citizens face triple-digit inflation, daily shortages of basic goods, and an escalating crime rate. The Democratic Unity Roundtable, Venezuela's opposition coalition, collected and validated enough signatures, 1% of the voting population, to move forward with a recall referendum process to remove President Nicolas Maduro from office. The National Electoral Council verified the signatures in early August, which concluded the first phase of the recall referendum process. The second phase involves collecting signatures from at least 20% of the electorate to allow the recall referendum process to move to the third and final phase of the process. Over the past few months, dialogue efforts have been led by former Spanish Prime Minister Zapatero, former Panamanian President Torrijos, and former Dominican Republic President Fernandez. On August 11th, the governments of Argentina, Belize, Brazil, Canada, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, Panama, Paraguay, Peru, the United States of America, and Uruguay issued a joint statement expressing the support for a meaningful, inclusive dialogue in Venezuela. We urge the government of Venezuela and the opposition to hold as soon as possible a frank and effective dialogue directly or with the support of facilitators, which allows the identification of long-lasting solutions in an environment of peace and mutual respect, encouraging them to continue to observe peaceful and nonviolent forms of expression and influence, said the statement. We call on the Venezuelan authorities to guarantee the exercise of the constitutional rights of the Venezuelan people, and that the remaining steps for the realization of the presidential recall referendum be pursued clearly, concretely, and without delay, and thus contribute to the quick and effective resolution of the current political, economic, and social difficulties in the country.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.